everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Canadian Podcow. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Sarah Sash, and I'm here with my colleague, Andrew Gavel, buddy old pal. How's it going?
It's wonderful, Sarah. How's everything in BC for you?
Not too bad, not too bad. I'm gratefully home for like a month, so.
One whole month? How is that possible? I thought as BC Dairy and as DFC board, you would be not allowed home for any more than about a four-day window ever.
Well, I do have to farm sometimes, you know.
Oh, well, I guess that's kind of it. So, but in BC, heck, you're probably like, you've probably already got first cut down or something like that.
No. We got a whole bunch of dead cover crop out there right now because we got a big cold spell in January, so.
Oh, well, it'll come. It feels like once we get to March, it just feels to me like we're so close. We're almost to spring. We might actually make it.
Yeah, we got the combo of tulips and snow here. I don't know about you.
We do not have tulips. We also don't have snow. So I'll take actually that.
So last year, Andrew, we did an episode specifically for International Women's Day, and we decided to give it another crack this year because it was a great time. As you know, there's a ton of awesome women working in the industry, and we're going to touch on it again with another guest.
We are. Now, I've got to ask first, Sarah, what does International Women's Day mean to you?
Well, what doesn't it mean? I mean, this year the theme is inspire inclusion, and I think that's kind of what I'm all about. I love to get out in the industry, show how women can show up in all kinds of different spaces, and I mean, there are tons of us doing great things, and we need to be represented in all parts of the industry. So I just love a day to celebrate that, to talk about amazing stories of the different types of women in our communities, and just to kind of focus on it a little bit extra than we do the rest of the year.
Well, and certainly when you talk about, you know, women like yourself that are so involved in the industry and doing things to move our industry forward, we have a fantastic guest today who is doing just that very thing from Alberta. We've got Karen Pirick from Pleasant Hill Farms. She's going to be joining us. Thank you for listening to the Canadian Podcow.
International Women's Day is celebrated on March 8th around the world and is all about celebrating women's achievements, raising awareness against bias, and taking action for equality. The first one was celebrated on March 19th, 1911, and the United Nations made it official in 1977.
It's an important day and an opportunity to reflect, to discuss, to take stock really about the place of women in the dairy industry. Our guest today, Karen Pirick from Pleasant Hill Farms. Karen, welcome to the Canadian Podcow.
Hi, Andrew. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here. So before we get started, Karen, we've got to know a little bit more about Pleasant Hill Farms. I understand you're located in Alberta, but that's about all I know. So fill us in.
So Pleasant Hill Farms, we started up on the location we are now in 1996 with Hank's parents, my husband. So he was 7 years old at the time, and we've kind of grown and expanded over the years. Originally, we were started with milking about 50 to 60 cows on the home place right now. Or back then, and now we milk around 400 cows. We have my in-laws on the farm. We have me and my husband on the farm, as well as we have four rowdy farm boys who are a lot of fun.
That sounds harder than the 400 cows.
100% is completely accurate.
So I was going to ask you about expansion plans, but that's already some pretty aggressive expansion, going from 50 or 60 to 400. Do you have any further plans? I mean, what will your business look like 10 years from now as you try to incorporate all these little guys into the place?
Yeah, so we always say to the boys, you do not have to be a dairy farmer. Dairy farming can definitely be a hard life. You have early mornings, you have late nights, you have a lot of risks that you're taking on the farm, and it's a lot of hard work to take care of animals. But we said, if you have a passion for it and a desire and a love for doing it, we will support you 100% of the way. So we'll see if one or none or all four become farmers. So that's kind of an exciting part of our future. As well as we're always focusing on continuing to grow and continuing to improve what we do. We're always wanting to be more efficient, more productive, and make sure that we give the top quality care to all our cows on our farm.
Well, it's a great mission, I'd say, Karen, and I congratulate you on kind of all that success that you've had. Now, I asked Sarah this actually before you came on, so I want to ask you this as well, is just what does, as we come to International Women's Day, what does that mean to you?
I first off think about celebrating about women just in general. So if I think back 100 years ago or 200 years ago, what women were able to do on even the farm level versus what we're able to do now. And then the excitement about what we're able to do in the future, it just brings me such joy to know how far we've come and how far we're going to continue to go.
So I got to know, I mean, people out there listening know that I did not grow up on a dairy farm. Did you have dairy experience in your past?
So my dad was a pig farmer. Both grandparents I had were dairy farmers. I lived with my grandparents for a year. And so I actually got to experience living on a dairy farm. And I loved waking up to the feed wagon every morning and listening to the cows get up and get fed. But I did not actually grow up on a dairy farm. So my kind of first actual day-to-day and understanding all the hard work was really when I started dating Hank. So my husband, I was 15 years old at the time. We were high school sweethearts. And our second date was me being in the barn helping him do chores so we could actually get out and do something. And ever since then, I have been stuck in the barn at the most awkward times, but also enjoying and loving every minute of it.
That sounds one of those like love stories made to happen. If he's taking you on a date in the barn, then and you go along with it, then it must be meant to be. So I'm curious, like before that, what did you want to do? Or along as you're going through school, was dairy farmer what you wanted to do or what you want to do instead?
So growing up, I saw dairy farming. My grandparents did it. I had two uncles who were dairy farmers, and me and my cousin made pact with each other. We would never marry dairy farmers. We were in grade two and we were grade three. And we said, we will never do it because they work way too hard. They're working at all times of the hour. They always show up late to our family events. So my cousin would always be late. We made a pact that we'd never do it. But then I got a little bit older and I was like, well, Hank is kind of nice. Maybe he's not so bad. But I said, I'm not going to be the dairy farmer. He could be the dairy farmer. I'm going to become a nurse. So I got my Bachelor of Science in nursing and I became a registered nurse in Alberta. And I loved it. I loved taking care of people. I loved the environment that of people that I got to work with. I really enjoyed it. But dairy farming always was there and it just kept pulling me and pulling me back. And the more and more I did, the more and more I enjoyed it.
So then when did you decide, like, you're not nursing now then? Is that right?
Yes. So I had to make the decision. As a woman, I still only have 24 hours in my day, just like everybody else. And it became a work-life balance issue. I have family that I need to take care of. I have a farm I need to take care of. And then I had my nursing career. And I couldn't do all of them, even though I loved everything. So I decided what was the most important thing for me to do. And I really felt like having a farm family was the highest priority. Getting to raise my kids on a farm, getting to really make sure that everything on the farm was getting done and help my husband and really be a team in making sure that the farm was growing is something that was the priority. So I always say I didn't really choose dairy farming. I always feel like dairy farming just chose me. It kind of just drew me in and I couldn't help it. And I just love every minute of it.
That's quite the thing, how it just chooses us, right?
Yeah.
But I really, I like what you're saying about that you get to, in terms of raising your kids on the farm or being able to be at home doing that, that you get to do it. It's not that you have to do it, you get to do it and you want to do it. And I think that's so cool. Is there ever a point in time where you've been like, oh, you know, nursing was nice, maybe I should go back to that? Or you're loving every day and just getting to do this?
I would say never. I could be honest though. I'm going to be honest. So there's a time when it's 3 a.m. and it's harvest season and you're working almost 24 hours straight and something's broke down and everything happens. And I had a baby and it was crying and you go, why am I doing this? And then you remember, why am I doing this? I take pride in taking care of our animals, taking care of the environment, and creating a good quality Canadian milk. And that's dairy products for my neighbors, for my friends, and for my family. And that why keeps you going no matter what, and then you never regret it.
Now, I'm a little afraid to ask this because I kind of probably know the answer. If you've got 4 boys and a husband and lots of people around the farm, something tells me that nursing degree comes in handy occasionally.
Yeah, so obviously in our family life, we end up in an emergency room about once a month, to be honest. That's with my boys. Luckily, no employees or any farm consultants. This is just my kids. But it's because we're doing things on the farm. And I believe in doing things that are a little bit dangerous in a safe and cautious way, because that's the only way that they can learn it. But I use my background in nursing and my biology and my pathophysiology, and I can apply that to the cows on a daily basis. So how the cow, when it gets sick and the process of it getting sick and what's happening in its body and how can we get it to recover the best and all of these things. And working with the veterinarian, I'm able to understand on a deeper level how we can take care of the cows the best way possible. I also think from learning and working as a nurse, there is such a huge emphasis on working as an interdisciplinary team, having all members from all different types of areas in the hospital come together and work. And we do that same approach on the farm. So we have a dairy farm nutrition expert, and he comes in and he helps us formulate rations and create feed for our cows. We have another expert that comes in and helps us with their reproductive management and deciding what's the best mating programs that we can be using. And we have a vet that's just amazing, that's 24/7 on call. And using all of those team members and consultants on our farm just helps us to do an even better job than we could on our own.
Well, you're totally right. It is a team game and it takes all types of people. I can't wait to talk to you some more about all of these things, but right now we're going to have to stop to take a quick break for a message from our sponsor. We'll continue the conversation with Karen from Pleasant Hill Farms in just a moment.
Meet a Canadian dairy farmer. Planting one tree, then hundreds more to naturally purify the air. Preserving wildflowers for pollinators and nurturing wetlands for healthier soil so wildlife can prosper.
Biodiversity is in our nature.
Working towards a sustainable future. That's Dairy Farming Forward.
We're in!
And we're back with Karen Pyrick from Pleasant Hill Farms. Karen, making the choice to raise a family on a dairy farm has an impact on how the family will grow up. I mean, as a mom, you know that it has an impact on how you're raising the kids and doing your job every day on the farm, mixing the combo. How's your family life impacted by the busy farming operation and everything you're trying to squeeze into your day?
I would say it looks significantly different than probably the average Canadian. Different is not always bad though. It's our kind of fun. It's our kind of life. So it means we don't have weekends off where we can enjoy and relax and catch up on house chores. It means that sometimes we take random afternoons off instead, that if the farm is going good and everything is a little bit quiet, which you cross your fingers and knock on wood because that doesn't happen that often, then you take off the afternoon and you go away with the kids to do something fun, like at the beach or the playground. But one of the joys that we have of raising the family on the farm and farm life is that we can work together as a team. That means that our kids are always coming out with us in the barns. They're seeing what we're doing. They're helping us and they're learning and growing. And that's just an amazing opportunity for them.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that in terms of what the biggest kind of highlights are for you of having the family there. And I know for me, like if I'm away traveling and I hear that my kids went in the barn and did chores on their own, I'm like, whoa, yes, I actually taught those guys something, because when I'm at home and we're doing it together, I mean, we just go along and go about our day. But when you realize the impact you're having on their lives when they're independent of you, it's pretty cool. So is there something that you could share with us about your kids that really kind of brings it home?
Yeah, like that idea that these kids can master these skills, and then it's skills for their life, and it's also the responsibility. So like from when they were young kids, all our kids learned how to count by counting the bottles that we are feeding the calves. And so every time we would get a new bottle for a new calf, they would be like 1, 2, 3, 4. And then it built up from there to the point where now I can say, okay, boys, you're home from school today. You know that there's chores and responsibilities. What do you think is important? And I get them to decide, hey, these are the things that we need to know, do. We know that there are responsibilities that we have to take care of, and we're going to do these first. And once we knock them off the list, yeah, hopefully we can do something fun a little bit later on.
That does sound like a lot of fun. And it actually sounds similar to how we kind of manage things around here. And I know we've found over the last, you know, few years with technology kind of coming more and more in the farm, you know, when kids come out, you know, milking was always, was never something they were able to do before. For us, now that the robots are doing it, now we can kind of bring the kids in and they can do the alleyways and do, you know, sweeping and do just other things. I'm kind of wondering how technology kind of lends into your operation and how the kids are, like, are they better at technology than your in-laws, or how does it go?
Well, they're very good at technology. That's the one thing that they pick up really fast and they really enjoy. So I do have them. We have a data management software in our barn that we use to track all of the cows. And so they help me with it now. And so they get to do the entries and they get to make sure that they're checking. And then they take really pride of, I noticed this on the system, Mom. I've got the cow alert. We have to go. We have to go. And so it's really, really cool. I love the technology though. We have, it's kind of like a Fitbit for cows and they're on each one of our cows. And so I always make the joke, I actually know more about my cows than I do my kids, because each cow I know on an individual basis how much it walked or didn't walk, how much it ate and how much it ruminated. If you ask me if my kids ate healthy enough and had enough bites in the day, I have no idea, but the cows I can tell you.
Well, then I'm kind of curious, like for you, and as your farm continues to evolve over the next, you know, number of years, what other types of things do you want to invest in? You've got all this data on cows now. What more would you love to know about them, or, you know, kind of have around the farm to make it easier for you, your family, your kids, everybody?
I don't really know, like everything that they come out with the research, I'm just really excited about the opportunities for growth. Anything that means that our cows can become more efficient and make more milk with less feed and less inputs, and anything that takes better health of care of the cows to help us with addressing health issues, to help us really do the best for the cows, do the best for the environment, and then do the best in creating high quality milk, I want to adapt those things.
So Karen, as a woman, what are the biggest challenges you're still facing as a dairy producer in 2024? I mean, I feel like a goof asking that question to some extent, but we know it's out there. We know it exists in the industry. Kind of from your perspective in your world.
So I definitely think stereotypes are still out there, which is crazy because it's 2024. But I think that the biggest struggle I face on a daily basis is work-life balance. We talked about that 24 hours in a day and trying to make sure that everything gets done on the farm and all our team members feel supported and that all the cows are doing well and then all the kids are doing well and everything in the house is going good. And from a business point that we look to make sure that everything is running smoothly is just, there's a lot of demands and there's a lot of things that are pulling from all directions, and trying to balance that can be difficult, but at the same time is always fun and it's a challenge that we rise to.
Well, then I'm kind of curious on that front, like when you talk about the difficulty with that work-life balance, like, you know, when I look out at the rest of the industry, do you think that makes it more difficult to recruit more women into the industry, whether it's as a farmer or whether it's, you know, in other parts of the industry? And how can we solve that challenge? How can we make it easier so that the work-life balance can be there?
Well, like I think talking about the dairies do offer flexibility, right? Like you guys have milk robots. We have it that we do have some employees who come to the farm and help us out on what we're doing. So the flexibility is if that afternoon presents itself that we have the ability to leave and go to the playground for a little bit, or we have an hour in the morning to say, yeah, I'm going to take some time for myself and I'm going to go exercise or do things like that. Dairy does offer that flexibility. So yes, it's a balance, but if you can balance it right, it's the best thing in the world.
And in terms of, you know, you and your role in the operation, do you think you bring some unique perspectives to the business? Obviously, that, you know, there was a farm there that did some growth there before you came along between Hank and his parents and all of that. What kind of perspectives do you bring to the farm?
So one, I think, would be communication. I am an over-communicator. I think, you know what, the more we can communicate, the better. Because I always say to everybody, let's solve things now instead of deal with problems later. That's the one thing I love. And we've really implemented that on the farm. The second one would be, I would say, maybe emotional intelligence. So just realizing, like where we're at and where we're feeling. And when we're pushed to the point that it's kind of almost, we're feel like we're almost about to break, right? Taking notice of that and saying, hey, I'm going to step back for a little bit. I'm going to take the 10 minutes that it takes, do some deep breathing to focus on what we're really doing, what we need to be doing, and what we can maybe put on hold for a little bit, as well as really empathizing and caring for others and seeing how is everybody else doing. We, with our employees, I say, I want you to be successful and I want you to be happy. And so whatever we can do in supporting that and making that happen. And it goes with the same with the cows. We want our cows to be healthy and we want them to be happy. So we look in the barn and you can see when the cows are healthy, you can see when they're happy, you can see when it's low stress, and we create that environment day after day to make sure that everybody is doing well.
Well, Karen, you articulate this whole lifestyle just brilliantly. I mean, you have so much in common and things that I'd love to talk to you about. When we think about young girls or even women who are already working in the industry and wanting to attract them perhaps to continuing in the industry or to have young people think about making a life in the industry, what would you share with them about this? Like, what would you say?
So I always tell my kids, I'm like, boots on, jump in and prepare for an adventure. I'm like, that's all you do. And then it's a wild ride and you don't know what's coming. But in all seriousness, I think the value of what we do and the importance of what we do, creating a Canadian high quality milk for our neighbors, for our friends, for our families around the area and in our communities, that's important. We need food to survive. And you need to take pride in what we're doing. Same thing with the animals and the environment. What we're doing is we're taking really good care of the animals. We're making sure we're creating a good environmental sustainability plans. We're making sure that we're investing back into the animals and into our soils to make sure that long term, we're able to do this and we have this resilience built into our farm. And so participating in that just gives you such job satisfaction and pride in what you do. And that's really rewarding for a career.
I think I already know the answer to this, Karen, because your enthusiasm for the industry is truly infectious. As Sarah mentioned, just how brilliantly you communicate all of this. But I still have to ask you, if you go back to, you know, your 15-year-old self going on that second date with Hank into the barn, do you keep doing chores or would you tell yourself, no, I better walk out of here right now while I still can?
I would say I should have jumped in even harder. I should have got more boots, got more coveralls, and just kept cycling them through faster.
Well, Karen, you're a force. It's been a pleasure interviewing you. We're so glad you made time to join us on the Canadian Podcast today, and hopefully we'll cross paths somewhere in the industry.
Sounds great. Thank you for having me.
Well, Sarah, that was a fun interview. I haven't actually met Karen before, but I feel like I should have. Like, she's just such a fantastic voice for the industry.
Me too. Where did Karen come from? I got to know more about this. I think I mentioned it about three times in the episode, but wow.
Yeah. No, and I think it gives this great perspective for young people, young women in the industry, for where the potential lies, and hopefully we see lots of Karen and her family as they kind of get more and more involved in the dairy industry in Alberta.
Indeed, there is so much opportunity out there and so many amazing women doing so many amazing things. I mean, that's what drives me in my roles, is just knowing how many awesome people are out there and how little we sometimes hear about them. So this has been great. That being said, that's it for today, for this episode of the Canadian Podcast. A huge thanks to our guest, Karen Pirick, to our production team, Carl Bellanger and Bruce Sargent, and of course, to Dairy Farmers of Canada.
And if you ever have any comments on this episode or any of the other ones we've done in the past, we're always interested to hear from you. You can drop by our Facebook page or Twitter. We're also on the email, Sarah. The email is podcast@canadianpodcow.ca.
Happy International Women's Day, everyone. We'll catch you next time.